Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about You've Already Got It, and I'm just about at the end of our third week of teaching on this. If you've missed any of this teaching, please get our materials that we're offering. I not only have the DVDs and this CD album, but I've got a book entitled You've Already Got It, and I've had the book out for a number of years, but this is also the very first time we've put together the You've Already Got It study guide. And the purpose of this study guide, it just goes more into depth. It will take some of the radical statements that I say, and it will put that in print, and then there's questions that go along with it. And so you read the questions, and then it has scriptures that you look up, and it's meant to be an interactive type of thing to where you specifically use this for Bible study, Sunday school, something like that. And it's you could get a great benefit out of it, but it's specifically designed to help you teach these same truths to other people, to disciple people. And that's what we need to be doing. So anyway, this is our very first time to have the study guide available. And I tell you, these materials would go, they would help you a lot. Some of you say, but I watch the program. I've heard every single program. Just getting it broken up into 30-minute segments, you don't get the same impact as if you sit down and study it the same for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours at one time. And plus, you have all of these materials that you can go back over and hear this, because this is not the kind of teaching that you just get one time and you got it. It takes a renewing of your mind, and so it's really important that you get these materials. Now, yesterday, I'm trying to establish that it's in the spiritual realm that God has already moved and provided everything. The core of this teaching about You've Already Got It is that God has already healed you. He's already prospered you. He's already forgiven you of your sins. He's already given you love, joy, and peace. He's already got a destiny for you. Everything that you could ever want, God has already provided through Jesus. You don't need to ask and then wait on God to move. God has already provided it. And what you've got to do is just reach out and by faith appropriate what God has already provided by grace. And when I teach things like this, people say, well, I can see the scriptures. I can see that you're saying this, but you're saying I've got it. Here's the doctor's report saying, no, I don't have healing. I've got sickness. I got this. Here's the bank report. Here's this. This report says this, but you're saying that the Word says this. Which is it? It's actually both. In the Spirit, God has already done this, but whether or not what God has done in the Spirit ever influences and changes your physical realm is not an indication of if God moved. It's an indication of whether you by faith reached over and appropriated and drew this into the physical realm. Faith gives substance to things that are hoped for, and it's evidence to things that are not seen. These things already exist. They're just in a spiritual world, and you have to get them out, manifest in the physical. I've been saying this lots of different ways this week. Yesterday, I was in Daniel chapter 9, and I showed where Daniel prayed a prayer and asked for revelation on a prophecy of Jeremiah. And while he was still praying, the angel Gabriel showed up. And the angel said, Daniel, from the beginning of your supplication, God gave a command to me, and I've come to give you understanding. And then he explained these things to him. But here was one of the main points that I made yesterday, and that is that Gabriel said, from the beginning of your prayer, God gave me a command, but Gabriel didn't manifest into the physical realm to where Daniel could see and hear him for about 3 or 4 minutes. That's the length of time. If you take to read Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 19, that's about the length of time that it takes. And while he was still praying, about 3 minutes into his prayer, Gabriel shows up. And I made the point that God moved and there were things happening in the spiritual realm before there was any physical, natural indication that it happened. That is so important that you understand this. Now, I want to contrast that with Daniel's prayer in the 10th chapter. And the reason I like to use Daniel, there's other examples of this in the Bible. But the reason I like to use Daniel is because he got totally different results in the 10th chapter than in the 9th chapter. In the 9th chapter, it took about 3 minutes for his prayer to manifest a physical answer. In the 10th chapter, it took 3 weeks. What a huge contrast. And see, sometimes when I tell about how God has answered my prayers and what He's done for me, some people think, well, you're just a super saint. You're God's pet or favorite. Things work different, and it's just different for me. And so they just discount what I'm teaching, thinking that things just work differently for me than they do for you. But here's the same guy praying. And if anything, after this miraculous encounter where he experienced the angel Gabriel talking to him directly and answering his prayer, Daniel should have been in more faith in the 10th chapter than he was in the 9th chapter. He should have gotten better results in the 10th chapter than he got in the 9th chapter. And yet, in Daniel chapter 10, it says in verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So Daniel not only should have been in more faith and praying and getting better results, but this time he added fasting and denial of himself to his prayer. So with all of these extra things he was doing, you would have thought that he got better results, and yet he didn't. Look at this. In the Daniel chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." So here is his answer to prayer. God spoke to him and gave him the answers that he was looking for. Let me ask you this. Why do you think that God answered Daniel's prayer in 3 minutes in Daniel chapter 9 and it took 3 weeks in Daniel chapter 10? Have any of you ever experienced this where you pray and it just seems like something happens nearly instantly? And then the next time you pray, it doesn't work as well. And have you ever had this problem about, God, why? Why did I get healed so easy? Why did you release your joy and love so easily the first time? And here I've been praying and seeking, and it seems like weeks or months, and nothing's happened. Why does God answer some prayers in 3 minutes and some prayers in 3 weeks? Did you know that the answer to that starts with you understanding that that is an invalid question? Somebody says, well, what's wrong with that? Because, see, you're starting with an assumption. You think that only when you see something or when you see something in the natural is only time that God moved. You don't understand that God can move, and yet there can be a period of time in between what God has done in the spiritual world coming into physical manifestation. So your question is ignoring the fact that there is a spiritual world. Your question is based only upon carnal reasoning, based only on what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. Your question is actually invalid. The truth is, God doesn't answer some prayers in 3 minutes and other prayers in 3 weeks. He answers all prayers that are prayed according to His Word instantly. Look at the next thing that this messenger said in verse 12. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." So this messenger said, from the first day. Now, it didn't say the beginning of the prayer on the first day, but since the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He doesn't change, I believe that it was on the very beginning of the first day of his praying. He answered both prayers instantly. The point I'm trying to get across is God's not the variable. Somebody says, why did this person get healed instantly and this person over here took weeks to get healed? God didn't heal one instantly and the other one, he waited weeks before he healed him. God moved the same. He is no respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. God doesn't heal one person and not heal another. God doesn't bless one person financially. He doesn't give one person joy and then the others, it just seems like that they struggle and struggle. God moves the same. He doesn't treat us differently. He moves by grace, but He moves in the spiritual realm. Some people receive the answer to their prayer instantly. Other people receive it over a period of time. And there's a lot of variables about what can cause this. But see, the point I'm trying to get across is that there is a spiritual world. And God moves in this spiritual world. And if you don't think that God is doing anything until you can see, taste, hear, smell, or feel it, until the doctors can confirm it, until the bank statement proves that you're prosperous, until you have just joy and feelings and emotions, you don't believe that God has moved and done anything until there is some physical, tangible proof, then you are just playing with half of a deck. You aren't thinking properly. You're missing out that there is a spiritual realm and a spiritual world, and there's all kinds of things going on in the spiritual world. God isn't the variable. If you have a need in your life, and if you have prayed and truly believed God, God has already moved. God has already supplied. But there could be physical things happening that hinder what God has done in the spirit from coming into physical manifestation. For instance, let's go back to this statement. Let me read again. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. That's 3 weeks. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So in this instance, we understand that there was a demonic power called the Prince of Persia that came and withstood Daniel's answer to prayer. God had already given the command. The answer was on the way, but there was a demonic hindrance that stopped what God had already commanded in the spirit from coming into physical manifestation. Boy, this is powerful. God wasn't the variable. You know what the variable was? The devil. Satan hindered the answer to Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 10. There isn't any hindrance against Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9. Now, here's some other great truths. Most people believe that Satan, just like God, is omniscient, omnipresent, that he never fails. They may not be sure that God's going to answer their prayers, but they are absolutely, totally convinced that if they ever blow it in any way, Satan is faithful. He's going to be there and trap them. I tell you, we have given Satan way too much credit. The devil blows it. The devil, either one of two things is true. If there are just billions and billions and billions of demons, so that every person on the planet has a personal demon attached to them and trying to come against them. If that's true, well then just imagine of the concentration of demons back during Adam and Eve's time when there was only two people on the face of the earth. Either they had overwhelming odds against them or there is a shortage of demons today. As far as I know, there is nothing in Scripture that shows that demons procreate, that there are little baby demons being born. So it seems to me that the number of demons is static. Either there was a huge concentration of demons per person back in the beginning, or there's a shortage of demons now. I personally believe that everybody doesn't have their own demon. We'll say things like, the devil said this, Satan told me this. And I believe that it's His kingdom, that there are demons operating and He's trying to influence us. But, you know, Satan can only be in one place at one time. Most of us claim that the devil told me this, but it's not the devil. Most of us have never encountered the devil. Most of us have encountered his demons, his imps, but not him personally. And I believe there's even a shortage of demons. With most people, I think that there has been demonic activity in our life. Satan taught us how to think wrong, and then Satan can take a vacation because most of us are doing a bang-up job of destroying our own life. Now, I don't doubt that there was demonic influence that took this old sinful nature and caused us to be selfish, and he taught us all of these things. But I'm saying that we are doing such a great job that sometimes I suspect that the devil and demons are sitting down and looking at us and taking notes and thinking, man, I never thought of that. I never thought of messing up a person's life this way. I never even thought that you could do these kind of things. Amen. I have no idea if this stuff is happening. But the point I'm trying to get across is that I believe that there's a shortage of demons and that Satan doesn't just faithfully take advantage of everything. Sometimes we just get prayers answered because the devil was short-handed. He didn't know that you were a threat. And he just let your prayer go and there was zero resistance. And boom, things just worked nearly instantly. You know, just like Daniel. I believe that somehow or another, Daniel's prayer, Satan was just on vacation. He was out licking his wounds. He was over in a corner sucking his thumb or who knows what he was doing. But he just let Daniel's prayer get through to God. But in the 9th chapter, there was such a powerful prophecy about the exact time that the Messiah would come that it was significant. It was one of the major revelations in the Old Testament. After this happened, Satan assigned a demonic power to Daniel. And it was revealed here in this 13th verse that it was the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Not talking about the physical person, but the demonic power assigned to the prince of Persia. And Satan assigned this demonic power. And so the second time Daniel prayed, even though he was fasting this time, and he should have had even stronger faith after experiencing a tremendous manifestation of God's power, this time he got worse results from just the physical perspective, not because God was the variable. God answered both prayers instantly, but this time there was a demonic opposition against Daniel's prayer. And see, very few people even think about this. If they pray and ask for something, and if they don't see it immediately happen, then they just think, well, God didn't answer my prayer. They never even take into account that God is moving, that God's power is in the pipeline, the answer is headed towards them, and they don't even think about that something can clog up the pipe, that there could be some demonic hindrance, obstacle there that is keeping what God is doing from flowing. And so they just ignore it. Now with Daniel, Daniel had no authority over the devil. He wasn't a born-again man. He wasn't a New Testament man who had authority over the devil. So even if Daniel had known what was happening behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, there was nothing he could do about it. All Daniel could do was just hold steady. And it didn't matter if it took 3 weeks or 3 years. He just had to believe that, God, I know you've answered my prayer. You've done it before. I know it's how. I don't know what's going on in the spiritual realm, but I know I've got it. And he just had to stand and be faithful on the fact that he was trusting God. You know, sad to say, we as New Testament believers, we've got more that we can do than Daniel. Daniel couldn't rebuke the devil. He couldn't take authority. He couldn't command the devil to get out of his life. We can. But sadly, most New Testament Christians are doing about the same thing that Daniel did. They just pray and they just standing there waiting. They're letting the devil beat them up. Their sickness and disease, their financial problems are just prolonged and they just drag on and on and on. And they're just trying to hold faithful and say, Father, I'm trusting you somehow. This is going to work out. You know, that's better than just quitting because you don't see something happen and say, well, God didn't answer and so I quit. It's better to stand and just hold on. But you know something even better than that? And that is to recognize as New Testament believers, we have the perspective that Daniel didn't have. Daniel didn't know what was happening in the spiritual realm. But the Word of God reveals to us that Satan is the one hindering our prayers. And so you can take your authority and you can command the devil to get out of your life. You can command this obstacle. You can say, I know based on the Word of God that if I ask, I receive. If I seek, I find. If I knock, it's opened unto me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired him. Not shall have, but we have. It's done. God's released it. It may only be in the spiritual realm, but it's mine and it's coming into the physical manifestation. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then it says in the next verse, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and then you shall, future tense, have it. You got to believe that you receive it right now, and then you shall have it. How does that work? It's because you receive it in the Spirit, and you've got it, but then you shall see it manifest in the physical. It might only take 3 minutes for it to manifest, or it might take 3 weeks, but if you believe that you've already got it, then you shall, future tense, see it come to pass. And see, this is powerful. If you understand these things, then you pray, and if you don't see the physical manifestation, instead of doubting that God moved because you're carnal and you can't think that anything exists other than what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, just this natural realm. Instead of being carnal like that and getting into doubt, you can be spiritual and say, no, I know I've already got it. I know that God's faithful. I know that God's already given me this. I've got it. It's in the Spirit. Now, I don't know why I haven't seen it manifest, but I know it's not God, and so you start working on you. Is it you? Are you in doubt and unbelief? Have you done something to counteract your own prayer? And you look and see, is it the devil? Is Satan hindering my prayer? And if Satan is hindering your prayer, then you, as a believer, take your authority and you start speaking and rebuking the demonic power. And you might have to pray for wisdom. You might need to get a word from God about how is it that this manifestation of what I believe you've already done, what is hindering it? And the Lord can speak to you and show you specific things. But man, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying or not. But this is so different than the way most people think. Most people, they pray and then they open their eyes, and if they can't see what they wanted, then according to them, God didn't move. Why not? Well, I can't see it. If God had moved, well, then I'd be able to see it. I'd feel it. I'd know it. Nothing has happened because there is nothing that exists beyond what I can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. Boy, that is so carnal. That is so immature. And yet that's right where most people live. You're going to have to start realizing that there is a spiritual world, that God moves in the spiritual world. And whether or not you see physical manifestation of what God has done is not an indication of whether He's moved. It's an indication of whether or not you have believed and walked in the faith that has provided a bridge for what's in the spiritual realm to come over into the physical. God has to flow through faith. I go back to the scriptures I started this teaching this week with, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance and evidence to things that are in the spiritual realm. They do exist, they just don't exist in the physical, they're in the spiritual, and faith brings them into physical reality. I'm out of time today, but I've got a lot more to share as we continue through this series. Today will be my last day to offer you the third teaching in this 6-part set. Please listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled, You've Already Got It, is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, You've Already Got It is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more.
I am going to continue to teach on this subject that I've entitled, You've Already Got It. And I've got an entire album, a book, and a study guide on this entitled, You've Already Got It. But we also offer each one of these CDs one at a time to people who could not or would not send any money to get the teaching. You know, there was a time in my life where I couldn't pay for anything, and I just made a decision that I'm not going to deny people access to this teaching because of finances. So we offer each teaching one at a time free of charge as our gift to you. My partners have enabled me to do that. Today is my last day to offer the third teaching entitled, It's in the Spiritual Realm. So if you'd like to receive this teaching, please call or write today.
The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled, It's in the Spiritual Realm, free of charge. A condensed version of You've Already Got It is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the New England area this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th, in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th, in Johnson City, Tennessee September 17th and 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Kairos Christian Center Sunday, October 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
For 8 years, Richard Anthony Waller struggled with debilitating and life-threatening health issues.
I was regularly walking on crutches. I was taking a lot of painkillers, and I was in a pretty bad way. And Charlie prayed his prayer, and I walked away. And I still felt the pain, but I knew and I believed that I was healed.
Today, he's totally and completely healed.
I'm healed. That's it. I'm healed. Everything. I'm healed. Everything. Everything is healed.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Richard Anthony Waller.